Now I wonder if we could turn our Bibles again to another scripture reading, but it'll be a short scripture reading this time. I wonder if you could turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now this is a chapter that is a chronology and has many names in it. But in the midst of the chronology there is a special verse of scripture, a special passage of scripture, a couple of verses. And we want to read the couple of verses to you. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and beginning our reading at verse 9. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve thee. And God granted him that which he requested." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake afresh. Let's just unite together at the throne of grace and ask the help and blessing of God upon us. Our loving and our gracious God, we come to thee in our Saviour's name afresh. We thank thee for the word that has been read. We thank thee for the faith of this man, Jabez, who was able to cry and call on God in his day and generation. We thank that he was bold to ask for blessings. And O God, we come to ask for thy blessing. We want thy blessing. We want thy hand to be upon us. We want thee to draw near and the mother's touch all who are under the sound of thy word, and that thou wouldst come and meet them at the point of their need. And our Father, we pray that thou wouldst give us a blessing, even in the consideration of thy word today. Draw near to our hearts, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Well, we want to draw your attention to these couple of verses of scripture here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The book of Chronicles is a book whose Hebrew name actually means matters of the dead or words of the dead. And when you look at 1 and 2 Chronicles, it actually is one book. And it is often taken with the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they are always taken together, and they are books that speak of the sweeping history of God's people from the time of Adam through the United Kingdom of Israel, and then the break up the divided kingdom, and then on to the Babylonian exile and the restoration then of Judah after the Babylonian exile and the building again of the temple. So it is history, but it is history from a theological point of view. It is history really from God's point of view. And these are the wonderful stories of God's dealings with his people. Now, when we come to the start of 1 Chronicles, there is a list of names. There are the genealogies that are in the first number of chapters of this book. And when many people will look at that, they are verses and chapters that they will skip over. And we don't want to, probably most of the names that are here are names that we will not know or not recognize. And therefore, people just, well, we skip over all of that and we'll get into the meat of the subject later on in the book. But I want you to see that if you do that, that you will miss something. Because in the middle of all of these names, there are wonderful jewels. And none more so than what we read about this man Jabez here in this portion of scripture. The name Jabez means he makes sorrowful. His mother, we are told, called him that because she bore him in sorrow and in pain. And in the cultural setting of our story, people gave names to their children that were expressing their hopes or their beliefs. And for some neat reason, this woman gave the name Jabez, which represents pain and grief and sorrow. But though his name means pain and grief and sorrow, I want you to see that his name goes down as a name of honour. Indeed, we're told here in verse 9, and Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. And you can see here that while he starts off in a situation and a circumstance of sorrow, yet he goes down as a man of honour and as a man of prayer. Because the thing that we remember about him, and the thing that we see here, is this mighty prayer that he prays. And it is a prayer for God's blessing. It's a prayer that God would come down and put his hand upon this man. And you know, that's a prayer that we need to pray today. That's a prayer that we certainly want to bring to God. We need God's blessing. We need the outpouring of the blessings of Almighty God. We think of the little hymn that says, carry me back to days of blessing. And my, how we need the hand of God. We need the touch of God. We need God to come and turn the tide in this day in which we live. We live in a day when the tide of God's blessing has gone out, when it seems so hard and so difficult to get through. But here's a man who makes a bold prayer to God. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve thee. And you know, we come and we take those petitions and we raise them up to our God today. There was a time when this prayer became very popular. Around the year 2000, there was a man by the name of Bruce Wilkinson. He wrote a book about the prayer of Jabez, and it became an international bestseller. It was from the perspective, really, of sort of prosperity gospel kind of a thing. And it was so successful that the publishers began to bring out all sorts of merchandise about the prayer of Jabez. And you got key rings and you got French magnets and all sorts of things with the prayer of Jabez. Now, it's not just a thing about merchandise. This is something that is real. This is spiritual. And we're not interested in worldly prosperity that many are. What we're looking for is the spiritual blessings of Almighty God. And I want you to see that while this is a bold prayer, it says, and God granted him that which he requested. Surely we come today, surely it is the prayer of each one of God's people today, that God would come and bless me indeed. So I want you to think about this prayer of Jabez for a few minutes today. And there are a number of things about it that I want you to see. And the first thing that I want you to see is the pattern of his prayer. Now we may ask ourselves why this prayer is here in the midst of all this list of names. Why it is here in the midst of these genealogies. There has to be a reason why it is here. And it's obviously recorded by the Holy Spirit as a pattern for us. You know that we think of the Lord Jesus when he spoke to his disciples and he said, after this manner, pray ye. And then he gave them the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, as it is called. But this is a pattern prayer. And I want you to see, as we look at the prayer, you can see something about the way that we come to God. And I want you to see that this prayer is a forthright prayer. I want you to see that this man comes boldly to God, and he comes with some degree of familiarity. He does recognize the power and the sovereignty of God. He doesn't come out of a sense of familiarity in that sense that he's taking God for granted and just treating God as the body in the sky. But he does come with that sense of familiarity in that he comes as a child to his father. And he says, it says, when Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me." So there is mention there of the fact that he comes to the God of Israel. A God then with whom he had a relationship. A God who was his by covenant relationship. He comes as a member of the people of God here. And he has that relationship with God. And of course the first thing that we need is that relationship with God, our God. That's the foundation of blessing. That's the first thing that you need if you come to blessing. And we come upon the grounds of the precious shed blood of Christ. Because that's how we have relationship with him today. We come in Jesus' name. We come, he came by the God of Israel. And we come to the same God today. And we plead the merits of the precious shed blood of Christ. But we can be forthright today. The Bible bids us to come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's forthright. And then I want you to see it is focused. I want you to see that this prayer is focused on something specific. The man of God here knows what he wants. He comes now directly to ask for the thing that he wants. And the thing that he wants is the blessing of the Lord. Now, we will think about that a little bit more in a wee while. But here's a man who is looking for spiritual blessing. And he has a focus. He knows he's not going to pray around the world, and he's not going to pray here and there. But he wants God's smile. He wants God's blessing. And you know, when we come, we need to know what we want. We need to know what we want. You know, here is a man who had learned as he read the Word of God and read and learned through his own experiences that this is the fundamental thing that he needed. It's the thing that he needed above all else. And it's still the same today. We need our God. It's focus. And then I want you to see that his prayer is faith-filled. He comes to God in faith. He comes to God because he believes that God is able to give him these things. See, there would have been no point in coming to God. There wouldn't have been no point in making these requests if he did not believe that God could give him these things. You know what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If you do not come in faith, you can't expect the blessing. Genuine faith is confidence in God. Confidence in what God can do. Confidence in that God is going to bless. And this is a man who believes. You can see that by the way he expresses himself. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." And that word "indeed" is a word that can be translated as "truly," or it can be translated as "really," "surely." "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." And he knows that God surely and truly can bless him. He knows that God is able to give him exceeding abundantly above all that can ask or think. You think of what it says in Luke chapter 11 and verses 11 to 13. It says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And he's saying, the Lord's a good father. He's not going to give you a counterfeit. He's going to give you that which is real. It's the real thing. We read Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And that's the God that we can have confidence and faith in today. This is faith-filled prayer. But I want you to see something else here about the pattern of the prayer. It's fervent prayer. You see the way that he starts with, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. There's the cry of earnestness and the cry of passion. This is not a rote prayer. This is not a form of petition that he brings to God. But this is a prayer that wells up from the depths of his heart. You should look at the word called there as well. He called upon the Lord. And that is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, where it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And there, in that context, it would indicate that there was something moving then, that in a way that they had not moved before. They called from the depths of their heart. They cried unto the mighty God of heaven. This is not an old dry prayer. In James 5 and 16, we read that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we see how he illustrates what he means by a fervent prayer. He speaks about the prophet Elijah. And you remember Elijah in the days of Ahab. And Ahab had strengthened the nation to some degree. But he brought in the idolatry of the god of Baal, the pagan god of Baal, and the other gods of the nations that were round about. And he began to serve them. You remember how God said that he was going to withdraw the blessing of rain. And he sent his prophet to pray. And it says in James chapter 5 verse 17, that Elijah, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly, and God gave him what he asked for. You remember Jacob, who cried to God, and he said, when God wrestled with him, remember how he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And dear friend, that's the attitude with which we need to come to our God today. Oh, that God would give us that earnestness, that zeal, that cry unto our God and calls upon him for mercy. We see the pattern of his prayer. But then I want you to see the petitions of his prayer. I want you to see what he actually prayed for. And I think that there are 4 things that he prays for that we want to highlight today. The first thing he prays for is grace. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Any blessing that comes from God comes by the grace of God. And Jabez, as we say, wants God's blessing. Now, he's not specific about what the blessing will be. He's going to leave that in the hands of God. But he wants God's blessing. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it speaks about the blessing of God, and it says of that blessing, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Biblical blessings are associated with protection and with happiness, and God's blessings will protect us. They will guide us on the path of righteousness. They will give us hope. But the blessing of the Lord is able to take the useless instrument and is able to make it useful. You remember how God enabled Samson to slay the Philistines with a jawbone of an ass. And with God's blessing, that jawbone, that bit of a bone, became a mighty weapon. You think of David, who took 5 smooth stones out of the brook. They were but small stones. And yet God, with his blessing, was able to, David was able to bring down the giant. The children of Israel, they were frustrated when they faced the fenced city of Jericho. They couldn't get in. But with the blessing of God, the walls came tumbling down. And you know, it doesn't matter how weak we may be, or how small we may be, or how lacking we may be in ability, if we have God's blessing, we have everything. And you know, we need that blessing today. Now, the thing I want to ask you today is, do you prize God's blessing? Do you want God's blessing? Do you crave God's blessing? You say, of course I do. Of course I want God's blessing. But I don't want just the, that's what you're going to say. That's the answer that you know that I want. And probably the automatic reaction of any of God's people is, oh yes, I want the blessing of God. But do we? You see, if we do want the blessing of God, we're going to take the time. We're going to take the time to seek it. We're going to take the time to call upon God. Now, there are a few people who would brazenly say no to God. I don't want your blessing. But dear friend, what about the actions? What are you doing to obtain the blessing of this day? You think of Ezra and Nehemiah, and it's thought that Ezra, for by many, that Ezra is the writer of the books of Chronicles. But there are many mentions in the books of Nehemiah and Ezra of the hand of the Lord. And the hand of the Lord speaks of the blessing of God. And we want God's hand upon us. And we want God's hand upon our families. And we want God's hand upon our church. And we want God's hand upon our nation. Of course we do, but are we looking for it? Are we taking the time to pray? Are we taking the time to call upon the name of the Lord? You notice how personal this is. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, Jabez says. You know, I have come across those that felt that it was wrong to ask God's blessing upon themselves. They felt that that was selfish. And I can understand what their thinking is. But God does want us to call upon blessings for ourselves, for our community. That's why God places as intercessors that we might call upon him for his mercy and for his blessing in this day. Oh, here is a man, and he's crying for grace. But then I want you to see he's crying for growth. He says, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. And he's not satisfied to remain as he is. He wants an expansion. He wants an increase. And it is the word there generally used as a physical increase. But we think also the spiritual increase. We're interested in growing in grace. In 1 Peter 2 and 2 we read, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. In 2 Peter 3 and 18 it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is important that God's people grow. And that is what Jabez is looking for. He's looking for growth. Not only is it that we grow in ourselves, but we grow as a fellowship. We grow as the people of God. We want to enlarge our coast. We want to bring others in. And you know, we think of what the Lord said to Amaziah that we were thinking about last Lord's Day. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Sometimes small churches look at themselves and they think, oh, we can't do this and we can't do that. We're too small. We have too few numbers. We have too little resources and so on and so on. And our vision gets limited. And we are limited by the circumstances. Instead of having taken the giant leap of faith and going forward. You know, there was an old Indian chief in Oldendale, and he used to test his braves. by sending them barefoot up the mountain. And they were to bring something back from the level that they got to on the mountain. And this was an endurance test. So he sent a number of braves up the mountain. And the first brave came back with some spruce leaves or branches in his hand. The next man came back a little bit later, and he had a twig of pine. And then the third brave came back, and he had some alpine plants that grew right up on the top of the mountain, beyond the tree line. He had climbed far. But then the moon came up, and the sun went down, and the last brave had not come back. But after a long time, exhausted and weary, and with feet bleeding, the fourth brave came back. And he said to the chief, he said, "You know, I have nothing to bring." He said, "Where I climbed, there was nothing but rocks and barren earth and snow." But then he said, with a smile on his face, "But I saw the sea." And you know, dear friend, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to climb high into the heights with him, that we might see beyond, that we might see beyond the trees and the wood and all the things that block our vision, and that we might see the mighty things that God has for us. But we need growth. How we need growth in this day. That's what Jabez prayed for. But then he prayed for something else. He prayed for guidance. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my growth, and that thine hand may be with me." Some of the commentators believe that Jabez here was on the verge of some important step in his life. And he wanted God's hand to guide him, and he wanted God's hand to direct him in the important things that he was going to do. In the book of Luke chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 4, we read about the Lord Jesus, that he was led into the wilderness, that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we read again, "And for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, we need to be led by the hand of God. We need God to lead us across the pathway of life. We need God to lead us. As he led the children of Israel by the cloudy, fiery pillar. So we need the guidance of God along the pathway of life. For it's always good, it's always blessed when we are where God wants us to be. The hand speaks of power. We have the hand, he speaks of God leading him by his hand. And the hand speaks of power. God's mighty hand wants to put you on like a glove and work through you in this life. And as we're working hand in glove with God, as it were, that's the best thing that we could do. He wants guidance. Then the fourth thing that this man prays for is godliness. He asks God to keep him from evil. He says, "That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Now, that speaks of godliness. He wants to be kept from evil. He wants that godlike disposition. That heartbeat of the godly person is a desire to respect and to reverence the things of God. And we enjoy life when we are walking with that godly disposition. God made us to enjoy him. God, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And it is as we walk with him, as we walk in that fellowship with God, that we are blessed. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." It says in Titus 2 and verse 12, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, in this present world. And he speaks here of how he wants this. It says that it may not grieve me. That's related to the name Jabez. The name Jabez means grief or pain or sorrow. But now he says, I don't want to be a Jabez like that anymore. I want to be a different Jabez. And he says, don't let these things grieve me. Sin will grieve you. Walking with the Word will grieve you. It'll not bring you satisfaction. But dear friend, if you grow in grace, and if you walk godliness, and if you're kept from the evil, then dear friend, that will be a life of blessing and a life of happiness. And I want you to see, in this portion of Scripture, we have the petitions of his prayer. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the provision of his prayer. I want you to see the little line at the end that says, and God granted him that which he requested. And I want you to see that there is the provision there of an answer. God answered his prayer. God granted him as he requested. And that means that God granted him all that he requested. There's not an exception there. This was a bold prayer. This was a mighty prayer that this man prayed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And you know, sometimes we'd hardly take that bold step and that bold approach to God. We come timidly to God. We come with that lack of faith to God. But here's a man who comes boldly to God, and God gives him all the petitions that he asks. He's able to answer exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. We read in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is a God who gives and gives and gives again. So we should not be reluctant to come and ask him, to call upon him. We can come as Jabez did. We can come with this boldness to God. And you know, we have the indication then that he's asking according to God's will. Because God gave him all the requests. It says in 1 John 5 and 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us as his prayer, guide us into the way. And then we can come with that boldness to God and cry for God's blessing upon us. There's the provision of an answer. But I want you to see there's something else. There's the provision of acknowledgement. Jabez goes down here as a man of prayer. In the midst of all these names, and if you read the names in the opening chapters in 1 Chronicles, they are a name, they're the names of the great men of God down through history. You have the mighty men that are notable in the Bible. Some, many, of course, that are only mentioned here in this portion, but they still are mighty men as far as God is concerned. But in the midst of all this, all these different mighty people, here is God taking the time to tell us about Jabez and about his family, or about his prayer rather. And God blesses him. He goes down as a man of honor, and he goes down as a man of prayer. But if you were to turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, and if you look at verse 55, it says, and the family of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Terephites, and the Shemethites, and the Succothites, these are the Kenites that came of Hamath, the father of the house of Rachab. So here is a town that says the scribes dwelt at Jabez. Now it is thought by the commentators who draw on the traditions of the Jewish writers that the town of Jabez here is meant, or is named after the Jabez in chapter 4. And they say, the Jewish commentators would say, that he was an eminent doctor of law, whose reputation drew many scribes round him, and the town was called then after his name, because they drew these people around him. So here's a man who goes down in posterity. He has a town named after him. He's honoured. And he's remembered because he's a man who prays. Prays for God's blessing. Prays for God to enlarge his coast and bless him indeed. You know, the Bible says this, ye have not because ye ask not. God wants to bless us. God has many blessings for us. But we need to ask. I bring you the question again. Do you want God's blessing? Or are you willing to pay the cost for God's blessing? Are you willing to spend the time to cry for God's blessing? That's the challenge that comes to us today. Oh, that we might cry out to God with all our hearts. In this day of need, in this day of crisis, that God blesses indeed. Let's just unite together in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy precious word to our hearts afresh today. O God, we pray that thou wouldst bless us indeed, that thou wouldst enlarge our coast, that thou wouldst keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us. Bless our God, and separate us in thy fear, and with thy blessing be with us throughout this day. For it's in Jesus' precious name we would ask these things. Amen. Amen.